I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
This week at Safeway, enjoy big savings with the BOGO sale, where select items throughout the store are buy one, get one free. With this week's BOGO sale, get select meats like Signature Farms 90% lean ground beef or boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free. Plus, select fresh produce items like 1-pound containers of sweet strawberries or containers of blueberries or buy one, get one free. Safeway, come in and explore and see what other deals you can find.
I've been following this Elon Musk thing with Twitter since the beginning. I'm fascinated by Elon Musk because I think he's such a weird, trippy character. And there are times that I just think, that man's brilliant. And there are times that I just think, what a jackass. And the Twitter purchase, I have to tell you, I thought more like jackass. I did. I thought that these guys, that he's buying it because he wants to be able to use it to promote his own stuff. Or maybe he just wants a big toy. I'm not really sure. Our ABC News correspondent is Alex Stone and A. Stone. Always good to hear from you there, my friend. Does Elon Musk really want Twitter?
You know, nobody knows, Chris. And we don't know what this really is right now. That he tweeted out this morning that the deal was on hold, then tweeted out that it was still on, that he was dedicated to it, that he was committed to it. But that he wants to know how many bots are really on Twitter. And this has been something that even long before he was talking about buying Twitter, he has been talking about the bots on Twitter. And whether it be Russian bots or the bots that track his airplane everywhere he goes, that are constantly putting out where he is, he's been mad at that, hasn't been able to stop that. He's tried to pay off the kid who came up with that bot. But he wants to know how many fake accounts, spam bots are on Twitter. Twitter has said in its regulatory filings that it's 4 or 5%, maybe not real accounts, not real people. But Musk is indicating that he believes probably higher than that of those who are not real. So he's been pretty obsessed with it. This week he was asked during a forum with the Financial Times. So you're going to buy Twitter, and he immediately talked about bots.
It needs to really get rid of the bots and the scams and spammers and anyone trying to create sort of fake influence on the site by where it's one person or one entity operating 100,000 accounts.
So is he going to bail because of that? We don't know. Analysts are saying at this point he is deep enough into this deal, $44 billion, that to get out of it, it would be about $1 billion that he would have to pay unless he can prove that Twitter has been knowingly lying to the world and that it has not been truthful about knowing how many of its users are real humans and those that aren't. And he says this is not a done deal yet. And in fact, earlier today, the CEO of Twitter tweeted out that they plan on, to the effect of, they plan on this going forward, but they have to plan on all contingencies, not knowing what's going to go on. And Musk pretty much said that this week with the Financial Times of, hey, we're not there yet.
I mean, I think there's still a lot of things that need to get done before this deal concludes. Obviously, there's not yet even been a shareholder vote. And Twitter has not yet filed the proxy for a shareholder vote.
Yeah, so they still have to do the proxy work. They've still got to do the vote. So, you know, has he been toying with everybody the whole time? We don't know. Or is everybody reading too much into his tweets? Remember a few weeks ago, he said, hey, you know, everybody picks apart every word that I use, but I'm usually sitting on the toilet when I do it. And he said, don't think too much about it. That you know, I tweet and I just think something is funny or it's on my mind. But what he did today, no matter if it was sitting on the John and tweeting because it was on his mind, or if it was something more strategic, he tanked the stock price Twitter by about 10%. Tesla fell is what he does, but he's saying it's on hold at the moment, and he wants to know about the bots, and then he'll decide what he's going to do.
All right, Alex Stone, our ABC News correspondent, and Alex, okay, there are so many different questions I have regarding this. First of all, why would we want to limit the bots? Why does he care about that if he's so concerned about free speech? If I program a bot to say what I'm thinking, is that not an expression of me, the programmer? Wouldn't that be within my free speech rights, provided I'm not committing fraud or something of that sort? Why limit the bots? It's simply an extension of a programmer's free speech.
Well, it's a couple of things. One is advertiser-wise that, as he mentioned, you can have one person who has 100,000 accounts, and
okay,
so you've got those 100,000 are not real, and so you don't know what the real numbers are. Bots have been a pain in his butt for a long time. There's that bot that I mentioned that tracks where his plane goes and automatically lets everybody know where he just landed and where he is. He hates that bot. There are the Russian bots that now we know messed with the election, 6 years ago now? So there are a lot of different ways that this can go on, of influencing things, of messing with people, of making people believe something is much bigger than it really is, that if you think that there are millions of people who are promoting this political idea, and they are computers just automatically doing that, or bashing something, changing public opinion, it can be a really bad thing. And we know that there are a lot of bots on there. So the influence can be really big. It can be advertisers, it could be his own annoyance, or it could be fake influence in this world. And there's a lot of it where you say, wow, look at all these people going to this rally or for this cause. And it is a Russian or somebody in the U.S. programming it to look that way of a million fake Twitter accounts. Well, that's a problem. And then he says we need to get rid of it.
So, Alex, I guess the advertiser standpoint makes sense to me. The rest of it seems like a contradiction to me. Everything you said, by the way, Alex, I agree with. I'm just juxtaposing that to what he said about freedom in the past and how we should have unlimited speech. And if he's concerned with too many people showing an undue influence, what about one person who has an undue influence when they're doing some poopy twittering? Because he has more followers.
Well, that's true. I mean, you could argue, yeah, absolutely. You could argue that as well. And yeah, but he's saying that if it is somebody who has... their sole goal is to sit in St. Petersburg or in Moscow and act like that they are in the politics of the U.S. and organizing and going for a certain candidate, that's a problem. But, you know, I mean, he's been into the freedom thing and whatnot and bringing people back. Bottom line, though, Chris, he's having a lot of influence even yeah. without having to own the company. They're making changes right now. There's a hiring freeze. Executives have been toying with leaving or leaving. They've been unfreezing things, talking about policy changes. Even if he were to back out right now, he made changes at Twitter yeah. and is freeing it up in that way. The other thing, though, is some of the analysts are saying this is a move to toy with Twitter. Maybe it is. But some believe that this is to bring down the price tag, that he made it less of a lucrative company today by bringing down the stock price, that maybe he doesn't want to pay $44 billion. Others are saying, no, he's doing his due diligence to know a company that he's about to buy. Others are saying that this is him bailing and that we are beginning to see it right now and that maybe he never planned on going all the way through and now this is his out. Just real quickly, Sarah Silver, financial professor in Connecticut, this is her take on it.
I think this is a pretext for getting out of the deal. It's simply not credible that he didn't know this was an issue. He's a very sophisticated investor, and this has been a problem disclosed in SEC filings for years.
And she says $1 billion, that he actually would make out in the end that this was a money-making prospect for him, that even if he has to pay $1 billion, that he withdrew knowing that the stock market, I mean, look what's been going on with it. Price of Tesla has gone down, even likely would have without this. He was able to pull out a lot of money of Tesla shares when the price was high, to then put the money toward this. So in the end, her take on it is, well, he won. He made money on this, even if he were to bail right now. She says, Twitter, we know, not a great investment. When you look at it on yeah. paper, maybe he wanted it for the name or as a toy or something else. Not a great yeah. investment, so it would make money to bail on it. But we don't know what he's going to do.
I'm fascinated by all of it. Alex, great reporting as always. Have a great weekend there, my friend. Look forward to seeing you.
You too. Thanks, Chris. Later.
All right, pal. Alex Stone, our ABC News correspondent in L.A. You hear how, Deborah, I just told him I look forward to seeing you?
Yeah,
I've never met Alex.
Oh,
yeah, I've never met him. No, I just want him to think that I'm the guy driving by his house every day.
He right? sounded a little perplexed. I thought maybe you guys were like, having a barbecue or something.
Me. Yeah. Okay. All right. You're just showing up at the house here? Yeah. No.
That's a little creepy.
I know, but he's one of those guys, like, he's a celebrity I want to be my best friend.
Oh.
Yeah, but then I know how it is when, you know, you've been like before, Deborah, you've been out before and somebody is like way too friendly with you and yeah. they're like, we can be best friends.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's me with Alex Stone. I'm like, Alex, you will be my best friend now. Let's be best friends. Come over and hang out. Please come over, Alex. Let's have a pool party, please.
Right, well, you both are very nice guys. I'm sure you get along very well.
You're very nice to me. All right, from Musk and his tech woes to the crypto woes in just a moment. Chris Merrill in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on your iHeartRadio app. Hey, oh, Chris Merrill in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk. I just saw that Fred Ward died. Oh, that was a guy from, I know him from Tremors. Not Kevin Bacon, the other guy. Right? Remember the movie Tremors? He was in The Right Stuff. He was one of the convicts that escaped in Escape from Alcatraz. That was the Clint Eastwood Alcatraz movie. Anyway, he just died, 79 years old. Yeah, he played Gus Grissom in the Right Stuff. I liked him. He just passed away. He was 79. Statement to the New York Post by Ward's representative said that the actor died on May 8th. No cause, so I guess he didn't just die. No cause of death was given. So there you go. Oh, that's too bad. I hate it when we lose those fun actors. Life stinks that way. I know I'm getting old when we have somebody who's an older actor passes and I go, oh, there'll never be another one like them. And I look at the younger generation of actors, I go, oh, they're all punks. Oh, none of them could ever fill his shoes. They couldn't do that. They're all punks today. Everybody's a punk when they're in their 20s and trying to act, and then they grow up, and then they become those legendary actors. But, you know, I'm a grumpy old man now, so I'll never see the people who are in their 20s today grow up to be 79 years old. So, as far as I'm concerned, we lost a good one. We'll never replace him. Grr. Speaking of young people, I'm not that old. Mid-40s guy, right? And I was into the crypto a few years back. So I do have an understanding of the blockchain and the cryptocurrencies and things like that. I lost some money in crypto, to be perfectly honest. The reason I lost money in crypto, if I can sort of rationalize, was that I was doing some mining. And I know some of the guys around here, they know their cryptocurrencies pretty well. I was doing some mining, and so I was paying a lot for mining equipment. That's how you make the cryptocurrency, basically. And then I was selling it at the time rather than banking it. I should have banked everything that I was mining at the time, but I didn't. I was selling it to try to play the crypto market. I should not have done that in hindsight. Shouldn't have done that. Then the other thing that happened was my wife said, stop it. And so I said, okay. And I sold all of my mining equipment. And then I liquidated most of the cryptocurrencies I had at the time. So now I have, you know, it's like the 0.00 whatever amount of Bitcoin that I have, like, you know, a couple hundred dollars worth. So had I held on to and continued to be mining, some of the stuff that I had would have been worth quite a bit of money. It's sort of like listening to Pops when he used to talk about having baseball cards as a kid back in the 50s, and then we look at how much those baseball cards would be worth today, right? It's similar to the situation where I go, man, if I had held on to this, then I would have this much today, but I don't worry about it too much. I do, however, still keep a side eye on what's going on over there with the cryptos. What's happening with those cryptocurrencies? As of right now, the cryptocurrencies are... Yeah, they've gone to trash, man. It's not been good in the crypto markets. In fact, here, let me pull up the stuff that I have right in front of me. I still have the apps on my phone. So let me see. Bitcoin right now is below 30,000. In perspective, Bitcoin was up over 60,000 last year. The price of Bitcoin plunging to its lowest point since 2020, this from the New York Times. Coinbase, the large cryptocurrency exchange, tanked in value. Cryptocurrency that promoted itself as a stable means of exchange collapsed. I think that was Luna, right, fellas? Luna dropped like more than 99%. It's under a dollar now or something? Or is it under a penny? And it was in whatever it was. It was crazy how much it dropped off. More than $300 billion wiped out by a crash in cryptocurrency prices just since Monday. This week alone, $300 billion lost in cryptocurrency. According to the New York Times, crypto world went into a full meltdown this week in a sell-off that graphically illustrated the risks of the experimental and unregulated digital currencies. True. The moment of panic amounted to the worst reset in cryptocurrency since Bitcoin plummeted 80% in 2018. I got in as Bitcoin was on its way up, and then it started to drop, and I thought I was doing fine, and then it dropped well below what I was purchasing at the time, and then I made the mistake of selling, because my wife told me I had to. I blame her. I should not have sold it. Shouldn't have sold it. I would have had... I wouldn't have been rich or anything, but I would have had enough money to be able to buy a used car, okay? But I sold it off. Instead of doing any dollar-cost averaging or anything else that I know from basic investment, I freaked out and I went, this is too unproven, and I got out. So I paid the price for it. Critics say the collapse this week was long overdue. Some traders compared the alarm and fear to the start of the 2008 financial crisis. According to an analyst who covers crypto companies and financial technology at some fancy company, says this is like the perfect storm. During the coronavirus pandemic, people flooded into virtual currency. 16% of Americans now own some, up from 1% in 2015. So 16% of Americans. So this, for those of you that haven't been, think I'm wasting my time. No, it's a sizable number of people that have cryptocurrencies. Many are adding them to their investment portfolios, and some are even adding cryptocurrencies to their retirement accounts if those retirement accounts offer that. Could be your 401k, and if your employer allows for investing in cryptocurrencies, you may have some crypto in your retirement accounts. The trouble is, in my opinion, witnessing this crypto stuff, is that most people who are investing in crypto consider themselves to be almost day traders. There is a certain excitement. It's like a drug watching that go up and down. And if you've ever day traded stocks, it's the same feeling, only your swings are massive in cryptocurrencies. Your ups and downs could be 5-10% a day. You don't worry about it because tomorrow will be another 5-10% another way. So while we see the stock market and we go, my God, it's the biggest loss since 2020. The Dow dropped 1,000 points. And we all freak out. We go, oh, my gosh, this is terrible. And we go, how much was that? And it was like 2%. Okay, it was a little more. It was like 3%. Okay, but 3% is considered a slow day in cryptocurrencies. So you got a lot of inexperienced investors who I think are being taken advantage of by a lot of more experienced investors. In the same way that we saw that happen with GameStop and the stocks that were going on a couple of years ago, that's what's happening in the cryptocurrency world as well. So for those of you that want to get into crypto, you better know your stuff. Because if you're a noob, you're going to get eaten. Even if you think it won't happen to me, you're going to get eaten. Meanwhile, state of California has more money than they know what to do with. I'll tell you about that next. Chris Merrill in for John and Ken. KFI AM 640, live everywhere in your iHeartRadio app. It's Chris Merrill. I am in for John and Ken today. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk. And is it good news or is it just... I don't want to be the Debbie Downer on this, but how in the heck did we end up with a budget surplus of $97.5 billion? It seems like somebody forgot to carry the one during some of their budget discussions. So we have a bunch of extra money, and it sounds like that would be super great.
Governor Newsom just unveiled a revised budget plan of just over $300 billion for the next fiscal year.
Wait a minute. The next fiscal year's budget plan is $300 billion. And yet, somehow this year, we have an extra $97.5 billion. So we misestimated the budget for this year by a third? How is that possible? I mean, I'm glad that the miss was to have a surplus as opposed to the miss being that we would be in debt by that much, but holy cats. Even earlier this year they were saying it would be like a $40 to $55 billion surplus. Total amount ends up being $97.5 billion? All right, send it back. I'll expect my check in the mail.
That is the highest in state history and fueled by surging tax revenues. And California is now entering the next budget year with a record-smashing surplus of $97.5 billion after the state collected $55 billion more in taxes than officials expected in January. Newsom said one of his top budget priorities is providing people relief from inflation. The state legislature has until the end of June to finalize the budget, which takes effect July 1st.
Okay, so Governor Batman said, because he looks like Bruce Wayne. Yeah. So Governor Batman says that our big concern here is that we have to take care of the inflation. Inflation's going wild. We got to take care of inflation. I am here to save the day. Because
I am Batman.
Thank you. So, end result? Nothing. There is no end result. He says the top priority is inflation.
Budget priorities is providing people relief from inflation.
But your priority, just a few months ago, was providing relief from gas prices. And as we discussed earlier on the program today, the average price of gas right now is $5.87 a gallon. I know that nationwide we set a record earlier this week. I think nationwide it was something like, I don't know, four. It'd take me a second, I can find it, but 487 or something like that nationwide. And obviously California is always the highest in the country. So, yeah, we're always going to pay more than that. So the national average price of gas set a record this week. Deborah, we've been higher on average, haven't we, in California than 587? Or is this a record?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I was going to say, because, I mean, it was just a couple of months ago that we had... And if you go to Brentwood or wherever, then you start seeing the place that's charging $7 a gallon or something ridiculous, which nobody's stopping there. How do any car stop? If you have so much money, this is where I would pay the $7 a gallon. First of all, if they're charging $7 a gallon for regular unleaded, then the premium unleaded was like almost $8 a gallon, right? So if if I live in that area, chances are I'm driving a vehicle that requires premium fuel, and that means I would be paying the $8 a gallon. Now, for me, if I had the money, which I don't, but this is the way I think. If I had that much money, I would definitely spend it at that gas station. And do you know why?
Why?
Because nobody else is going to be there. So I got the place. I don't have to wait for a pump. I don't have other people driving by. The only thing I have to worry about is the news vans that are taking pictures of the sign and then some doofus reporter coming up and going,
yeah, we're live outside of the Brentwood gas station where gas is at $7 a gallon, sir. Why would you stop here?
And I'd say, because I don't want to talk to people. That's why. I have so much money that you go to bed every night praying to be me, and I wanted to be here because of the privacy. I figured everybody else would stay away, but lo and behold, here you are, channel, fill in the number. That would be my downside. But I don't have that money, so instead I'm out there clipping coupons. One of these days I will. One of these days. Where does Bill Handel fill his gas tank? Oh, he has somebody do that for him, though, doesn't he?
I don't know.
You know, that's the other one, too. In all seriousness, that's the other thing, is that for a lot of these people, they're filling it up with somebody else's card. So they don't care. So they're going to go to that gas station that's charging $7 a gallon or whatever, and they don't care. They're putting it on somebody else's card. It's the company card. It's my daughter's so excited. She got her foot in the door. She is the part-time personal assistant to a supporting actor in a major television show. Like, well, that's awesome, sweetheart. She goes, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. I just do whatever he tells me. All right. Well, I guess you're making your bones. Good for you. She's so excited. She's like, I'm part of the Hollywood scene now. Sure you are, part-time. Yeah.
Otherwise, oh, wait, you're sounding like your dad now.
I know, you're right. My dad would be like, you're wasting your life. Otherwise, she's still a barista. But that's all right. I'm excited for her following her dream. I'm not telling her it's time to give up on your dream like my father would be doing. He'd be saying, you should be doing
all these things. Well, she is a lot younger than you, Chris.
And prettier. Yeah. And a lot prettier, too. Mm-hmm. You know, she's got a whole life ahead of her. She's got that appealing face. Like, I walk into a place, and they're like, I do think I could be like that. This is always my dream, Deborah. I went to school for theater. I always wanted to work in Hollywood.
You did?
I did. I always wanted to work in Hollywood. I always wanted to be an actor. And it's what I went to college for. And then I ended up in radio. And I always thought I could be the brute. Because I've got the face. I've got the whole look for like the brute.
Uh-huh.
You know? I could be the character actor. I don't have to be a leading man. I know. Look, I got the chops. I could be the leading man, but I'm never going to be the leading man. Let's get serious.
So what have you done? What have you done to try and get into acting?
Well, I got into radio.
Okay, but it's always been your dream, and since you were complaining that you're just
my father talked
fill-in.
Me out of it. My father talked me out of that dream already.
Okay, but you know what? Who cares?
Now he's talking me out of this one.
Well. If you don't need a job, then
You can. At least in radio, I got my SAG card, so I was able to flash that to some of the people I went to college with, and I said, "Ha ha, do you have your SAG card yet?" And they go, "No, they don't." So I feel like I'm closer than I've ever been right now.
You need to go after your dream, Chris. You can do both. You can do radio, and you can do the acting.
Yeah. I should do one of those shows where I'm the radio guy in a movie.
Oh, there you go. Oh, that's brilliant.
I was so jealous of Tim because I watched Licorice Pizza because
he's a stud.
Of Tim. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. He was so good.
He's a big movie star now.
He is. He's huge.
I saw him in that movie, too, Licorice Pizza.
I was so impressed. I really was.
Yeah, he did a great job.
He did fantastic. Because you know what? You know what the hardest thing to do sometimes if you're acting is to fill that character and be in a character that is so different from yourself. Now I happen to see some of the Tim Conway where he was sort of he was an okay guy at the beginning and things like that. You know, and he's all right. You know, but you meet Tim and Tim's just such a want to shake your hand, want to give you all the attention. You feel like $1,000 when you're around Tim, and he was so able to sort of be the character. That had that sort of je ne sais quoi, which is what I say when I don't know words. he had that. that comes from the real Tim. But then, but he was able to kind of bring it down for the camera. And I was like, wow, he really did it. Such a fantastic job. So good. I was so impressed. So, yeah, well, let's see. I'm jealous of Handel's money and Tim's success.
Oh, Chris, you know, we need to get you some help. You need an intervention. We need to do something.
I need
for
a shrink.
You do.
I need a shrink is what you're saying?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I need. All right. So anyway, back to the whole point here. Budget surplus and nobody's doing anything to help us out. But we paid one third more in taxes than we needed to. So that's what we got going for us. I'm going to do something I don't normally do in just a few moments, because normally when President Trump says something goofy, I just shake my head and I go, what is he thinking now? But now it's coming to light that he had some really outrageous ideas. I don't necessarily hate the concept. I don't think it's practical, but I don't hate it. I'm going to share that with you next. Chris Merrill in for John and Ken. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk. Hey there, John and Ken Show. It's Chris Merrill in for the boys. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk. The former president finding out about some more things that happened while he was in office. And we know that President Trump, love him or hate him, you have to agree. The guy said some pretty dumb things, right? When he was getting light inside the body, yeah, they have to explore that. Antiseptics or bleach or whatever, and just, you kind of went, what? What are you talking about? What? And then when he was using the Sharpie to draw the potential route of the hurricane, you went, what? What are you doing? And then he talked about dropping a nuclear bomb inside a hurricane. And we all said, what? What are you talking about? So along the line of the hurricane conversation with President Trump, Rolling Stone is reporting that two unnamed former senior administration officials and a third person briefed on the matter told Rolling Stone that Trump brought up a supposed secret technology that would allow China to create sizable hurricanes on command and launch them at the United States. So he was very concerned with weaponized man-made hurricanes from China. Former president asked about it repeatedly during his first year in office, according to the report. A question came up sporadically until at least 2018 before Trump stopped inquiring about what some began calling hurricane guns, or they were just joking about it. A former Trump official said it was almost too stupid for words. Intimately familiar with the then sitting president's inquiry, I did not get the sense that he was joking at all. Another former senior advisor who claimed to be present when the president asked about the hurricane guns said Trump wanted to know if the technology existed. One guy in the room responded, not to the best of my knowledge, sir. I kept it together until I got back to my office. The official said, I do not know whether the then president would have heard about that or where the president would have heard about that. He was asking about it around the time, maybe a little before he asked about people nuking hurricanes. Okay. Let me just throw this out here. While I think he's nuts, it's not the first time that we've had government officials that have inquired about using weather as a weapon. It's not too outrageous for the president to wonder if there are advanced technologies, and he's thinking outside the box. Are there advanced technologies that other countries may have created? In this case, he seemed to be particularly worried about China. China, I don't know why. But if China didn't have the technology, maybe he was wondering if that's something that we could do. No, it's not. But I just want to, listen, I don't hate this line. It seems absurd, but how many times have wars been won or lost based on changes in the weather? I mean, the Weather Channel loves to run stories about how World War II would have been different had it not been for this. We have other storms where, or other weather conditions that could have altered the fate of history, including Washington crossing the Delaware. The British didn't think he would do that. It's too cold. He's not going to do this. There's no way. He does, and he wins, right? Weather plays a part in battle. So it's not too absurd for a president to say, what's going on with the weather? Is there any way for us to turn this condition into something to our advantage? I don't hate it. Except that with him, I kind of wonder, did the question sort of get ramped up when he found out that hurricanes couldn't be bombed out of existence? In other words, if it was in his mind, President Trump thinking, oh my gosh, Jaina has hurricane guns where they can just spin up a hurricane and throw it at us, and we can't do anything about it, because maybe he was thinking, well, we could always defend ourselves using nuclear bombs. But now he's thinking, oh no, we can't even stop the hurricane using nuclear weapons, so now we're just sitting ducks. And then he gets out his Sharpie and he draws, oh, these are the areas where Jaina could attack. It's hard to say what exactly goes on in that mind, but I have to defend the guy, and I don't do this very often, to be honest. I really did not care for him as president. But I got to defend the guy and say that, look, exploring different tactical advantages or having a concern over a potential tactical weakness does not make a bad leader. There are plenty of other things, if you want to be critical of Trump, there are plenty of other things to be critical about. Absolutely. No problem. I just don't think this is one of them. I'm kind of fascinated, actually, by the idea of us being able to control the weather. And let me point this out, too. I think that at some point, we will be able to better control the weather. I don't know when that point is going to be. We've been working on different means of cloud seeding and control measures, all these different things. There are scientists right now working on ways to control the weather simply in response to climate change. So it's not crazy for the president to say, is it something that we could control? Is there somebody else working on this? Like Jaina. Because if Jaina has the technology, is it something that could pose a potential threat to us? Now, maybe he should have just accepted that the first time somebody said no. You could argue about that. I don't hate it, though. I just don't hate it. Speaking of controlling the weather, wouldn't it be nice if we could? Wouldn't that be fantastic? Wouldn't it be glorious if we could say, drought? Not in my California. Sadly, we've yet to get to that point, which means drought is coming. Drought is here. Drought is going to get worse. More fires. More conditions. Are we ready? Based on the latest, no, not even close. That's next. Chris Merrill in for John Ken. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk and everywhere on your iHeartRadio app.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.